Okay, tonight's shiur and every shiur throughout the summer is sponsored by friends of Ben Yal England, the Luzchusser for Shlema, for Zecharia Kalman Ben Yal Margalit. I'm not sure how long tonight's shiur is going to be. Let's see how far we get. We did some significant background information last week on the topic of Bishlakum. We took a little bit of a left turn and went into Asmachta, which is always a fascinating topic, and it's not really an Avodah Zarah topic per se, but just a good Shas topic to know about. The fantastic essay of Rav Yosef Engel, as all of his essays are, in Beis HaOtzer on the topic, was also, you know, again, a little bit off topic, but I want to bring it back home now. We basically discussed the timing of the Isra of Bishlakum, when they were gozer that vis-a-vis Pasakum, because we know they scaled back Pasakum, they never scaled back Bishlakum. We saw the Machlokes Rishonim about that, and we went through the fundamental reasons for Bishlakum. The most obvious reason that most of the Rishonim, Rov Rishonim, seem to assume, and Tosfos seems to be noted towards on Lamed Chesam and Aleph at the top, is Mishum Chasnus, and then the less obvious or less popular reason that Rashi on Lamed Chesam and Aleph says, not Mishum Chasnus, but Shami Yachilenu Davar Tamei, that you're going to be Margilat Slo, you're going to come to eat with him a lot of meals, and then ultimately he's going to give you something that's not kosher. As we go through the sugya, it's important to keep the reasons in the back of our minds, and also the potential nafkaminas. We pointed out that possible nafkamina might be for a mumar, that if someone is an anti-religious, non-religious, converted outside of the religion kind of Jew, so certainly there's a concern, Shem Yechalenu Davar Tamei, does not seem to be much of a concern of Chasnus, unless you hold like the Avnei Nezer, that it's usher to marry him. We went through the Tshuvas HaRashba, that gave 18 different reasons, it's an exaggeration, 5 or 6 different reasons, why you're not allowed to eat food made by a priest, even though he theoretically doesn't have any daughters, so it's not really, we don't really view it on a case-by-case basis. Chasnus is a much broader category. And what I want to go through tonight are the exceptions to the Isur Bishlakum, specifically the exceptions that are mentioned in the Gemara, and then maybe, hopefully, we'll get to maybe an exception or two that the Rishonim start to talk about. But the exceptions listed in the Gemara are the following. First of all, the Gemara Lamed Chesam and Aleph pretty much lays it out there for us. If you look at the Gemara on the top, on Lamed Chesam and Aleph, Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak, Amar Rav, Kol Hanech al Kamos Shehu Chai, Ein Bo Mishum Mishalei Avdei Chavim. Anything that is edible raw does not need to be cooked in order to be eaten, does not have Bishlakum, is not subject to Bishlakum. The Surah Masnu Hachi, that's how they taught in Surah. The Pumbedisa Masnu Hachi, but in Pumbedisa they taught otherwise. That Amr of Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, Amr Rav, Kol Sheino Nechal al Shulchan Melachim, the Lafis Boas Apas, Ein Bo Mishum Bishalei Avdei Chavim. Anything that wouldn't be served at a royal banquet, well, that's not really a fair translation. Anything that's not eaten on a king's table is not subject to Bishlakum, but that's not a fair translation either. That's the way everyone always translates it, but that leaves out a few words, right? Which words did I leave out in the translation? The lafes boas apas. So that's a big discussion also in the Rishonim. Is that dafka or is that lav dafka? When we say anything that wouldn't be eaten, wouldn't be served on a king's table, is that it? That's the requirement? That it wouldn't be served on a king's table, now it's okay, you don't have to worry about Bishlakum? Or it could be even be something that would be served on a king's table, but not lelafes bos apas. But it wouldn't be used as something that would go together with bread. Like meat, you could go eat together with bread. It goes naturally together with bread. There are certain types of food that don't really go naturally together with bread. Oatmeal doesn't really go with bread, right? There are things that don't naturally fit with bread. Would those be subject to Bishlakum? Would they not be subject to Bishlakum? Okay, so that's what we're going to have to discuss. Those are the two basic exceptions that the Gemara is most explicit about. The Gemara might have already told us another exception on the bottom of Lamed Zayin and Beis, and we discussed that already about the idea of something that's lo nishtanim mibriyaso, that when you al yidei ha'or, that when you cook it, it doesn't change its form. We discussed that that's a machlokas, whether that in fact is an exception, the maskana, or is not. But these two are clear as day. Says the Gemara, might be, the only thing is, it sounds like a machlokas in the Gemara, right? The Gemara seems to be saying it's one or the other. One or the other is not subject to Bishlakum. So the Gemara says, well, my binayu, what's the nafkamina? Meaning, are there any foods that fit one category but not the other? That are, let's say, olal shulchan melachim, but they're edible raw? So anyway, so it would only be a problem of Bishalakum because if you hold like the Shita of Olal Shulchan Malachim, but would not be a problem of Bishalakum if you hold Nechel Kmo Shul Chai, and vice versa. So says the Gemara, Ike Binayu Dagim Ketanim Va'ardi V'daisa. These three foods are all nafkaminas. Now, how are they nafkaminas? What are they? So Rashi says, Ein Echolin Chayin Ve'ein Olin Al Shulchan Malachim. All of these three foods fit are nafkamina, but they're all nafkamina in the same direction. All of them are not edible raw, so if you hold that to avoid bishalakum, it needs to be something that's edible raw, well, you have no such luck with these foods. These foods would be asir. But if you hold like the shita of olal shulchan malachim, well, these things are not olal shulchan malachim. They wouldn't be served at a king's table, and mela there would be no problem of bishalakum. So lishna kami yesh ben mishum bishalakum lishna mishum basra sharu. That's the machlokas lishna kama lishna basra. That is unusual. When the Gemara asks, my binayu gives three nafkaminas, and all of them point in the same direction. None of them go in the reverse. They all point in the same direction. That's somewhat unusual for the Gemara to do. Tosos notes that it's unusual, and Tosos says that the Gemara must be trying to teach us something if it gives such an unusual set of nafkaminas. If you look at Tosos, ike binayu dagim ketanim va'ardi v'daisa, I'm not getting into what they are exactly. I mean, Doug and Katanim are pretty obvious, but I'm not getting into, you know, exactly what they are because it's irrelevant. The point is, in theory, what would they be? What category do they fit in? Are they Olal Shulchan Malachim? Are they Nechel Kmo Shul Chai? Because whatever was Olal Shulchan Malachim then may not be Olal Shulchan Malachim now, and the halacha is going to be nikva based on what people do now and here. It's not going to be nikva based on what was done in Bavel, right? So says Tosfos, Va'omer Rabbeinu Tam demidenakat hani v'lo nakat dvash ugvina. He says I have other nafkaminas the Gemara could have said. Why didn't the Gemara say cheese, honey? You know what those things are? Those are foods that are olal shulchan malachim, but they're edible raw. So why didn't the Gemara give those nafkaminas? Cheese and honey, olal shulchan malachim nechalim chayim. So says Tosos, from the fact that the Gemara goes in this direction and not the other direction, so you might, the first reason you would want to say why it went in this direction, not the other direction, is maybe you couldn't think of any nafkaminas in the other direction. Tosos says that's impossible. We just had a discussion about cheese. The Gemara couldn't think of cheese? It's impossible that the Gemara didn't think of it. It's impossible that the Gemara doesn't think of dvash. Right? It's just impossible that the Gemara would miss such basic staple kind of foods that would clearly be nafkaminas in the other direction. So from the fact that the Gemara gives all the nafkaminas in this direction, Shema mina debay leminka dvarim shenasabem loshon achron mosaf ala rishon ula hakel alav. So he says clearly what the Gemara is trying to tell us is that when we have the second daya, right, we said that in Surah they taught Nechel Chai, and in Pumbedisa they taught Olal Shulchan Malachim, it's obviously trying to tell us that the people in Pumbedisa didn't argue on the heter they came up with in Surah. They agreed that something that's Nechel Chai is not subject to Bishalakum. They would agree that cheese and honey are not subject to Bishalakum. That wouldn't be enough gemina between the Shitos. Everyone agrees about Nechel Kmo Shul Chai. All they were doing in Pumbedisa was being Mosif another heter on top of the original heter. And they're telling us that in addition to the original heter of Nechel Chai, there's another heter of Ein Olal Shulchan Malachim. Ula hakel alav da'afilu Nechel Chai. Even if you were to come up with certain foods like dagim ketan, I'm sorry, certain foods that are edible raw, like dvash or gvina, kivan she'ena ola lesbe mishum bishalei avduk chavim. Since it's not ola, I'm sorry, dafilu eino nechal chayim, and the other way around. Even if it would not be edible raw, like dagim ketanim, since it's also not ola on shulchan malachim, wouldn't be subject to bishalakum. V'lachein pasuk rabbeinu tam, and this is why we are mentioning this whole tosfos over here, it's critical la'alacha, dehilchas kahani trei lishni. We would never, in discussing the topic of Bishalakum, say, well, it's machlokas whether Olal Shulchan Malachim is a heter at all anyway. It's machlokas Pumbedis and Surah. It's machlokas whether Nechel Chayza is a heter. No, it's not. Rabbeinu Tam says, we pass like both Lashonos. V'yik achad minayu, o Nechel Chay, o eino ola, ein bo mishum shulav v'chavim, di b'shal sofrim halachachar mekel. And if you have one or the other, it's not going to be a problem. It's no problem with Bishalakum. Strange that Tosos has to add in those last five words that I just read. To Bishal Sofrim Halachachar Amekim. because we follow the more makel opinion on dinim d'rabbanan. What's he adding that to explain? I thought he just said that the way the Gemara formulates the position makes it clear that the second daya agrees with the first daya. So you could say that it's coming to explain why we pass like the second daya. It doesn't say anywhere the first daya would agree with the second daya. Right? So he could be saying, look, I don't know why we should pass like Pumbedisa more than Surah, other than the fact that it's a din d'rabbanan. And when it's a din d'rabbanan, we're going to follow the more makel shita. So we're going to follow the more expansive kula. Everyone agrees to the kula of kol nechel kmo shu chai is not a problem of bishalakum. There seems to be machlokas whether enol shulchan malachim is a heter of bishalakum. It's a drabanan. We're going to go with the most makel shita. Yeah.
We mentioned in previous shurim that there can be with the gzeira, and also what we have to be choshish for. So it could be those things with that. Even at the gzeira, we should still be choshish. But then it also wouldn't matter even if it's subject to rabban lagula.
Okay. Forgotten. Good. Okay. That Tosus is the baseline for all the kulas. We have to realize these two kulas are not one or the other. They are both, and it's accepted la halacha, and it says that way in Shulchan Aruch. This Tosus is accepted la halacha. Yeah.
And Tosus is getting himself from Rashi. The fact that Rashi explained that all three are on one side, whereas Rabbeinu Chanan says that they're on.
Good. Right. Correct. Tosus obviously understands like Rashi. Mm-hmm. Right. But that's the way we pass it. Meaning, if you're going to say like Rabbeinu Chananel that they're not all three nafkaminas in one direction, then you don't have Tosfos hol diuk. Mele, you have a machlokas, and then you might need the Bishel Sof from Halacha Achar Mekel to say that we're going to be Mekel anyway. But it would be a kula. It's really like so.
Which one's Mekel?
To be okay. That's a question. Could you be Mekel like both? Could you say Safik Rabbanan Lakula? You know, I don't know. Maybe Olal Shulchan Malachim is a good heter. Ein Olal Shulchan Malachim is a good heter. Maybe Nachal Kmo Shulchai is a good heter. And be make like both. If you know that nobody holds that way, that's always an interesting question in Safik Rabbanan Lakula. It's not quite as bad as Safik Rabbanan Lakula where it's a stiru minei ubei. Sometimes Safik Rabbanan Lakula where you're makel on both ends, you create for yourself a stira that's just untenable. This isn't really a stira, it's just a machlokas, which kula was the widely used kula. But you're right, if there was no shita that held both, to be makel like both may be a problem. Right, it may be against the rules of Safik Rabbanan Lakula. We had this discussion once, we must have had this discussion at some point, about the Gemara Pesachim Kufches. The Gemara Pesachim talks about Heseba for Dalid Kosos, right, the Chiv to lean for Dalid Kosos. So the Gemara is a Machlokas, two Lashonos of Rav Nachman. Do you lean for the first two Kosos, or do you lean for the last two Kosos? So the Gemara says over there, Hashta, Deloit, Merhilch, Salok, Kamar, Velok, Kamar, Kulubay Heseba. Since we don't paskin one way or the other, we don't know which way the halach is, so we do a saber for all of them. We require a saber for all of them. So that's what the Ran, the famous Ran over there, is medayik. He says, what do you mean? It's a safek d'rabbanan. Why would you be machmir and require for all of them? So the Ran points out, he has a couple of answers. One of his answers is that, yeah, but if you were to say safek d'rabbanan on the first two cups and safek d'rabbanan on the last two cups, you're not going to do a saber at all. So you're going to end up doing something that's definitely wrong. Right, so that's the issue. Safek d'rabbanan lakula, when applied on both sides, when you're definitely going to be doing something wrong, may be a problem. You might not be allowed to, although over there it's different. That Ran is talking about Dafka Haseba, because that's going to be Mevatel the Takanas Haseba B'dalet Kosos. We're not going to be Mevatel the Inyan of Bishalakum when we rely on the Kula of Nechel Kmo Shuchai and when we rely on the Kula of Enel Shulchan Malachim. So you have to be careful how we make broad equations in this area, but it certainly would be at least a very strong Shiloh, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, how to hold the Halacha. But we pass on Tosos. We pass on the Rashi Tosos. Yeah.
Quick question on that. Would each shita say to lean at the end or the first two or the last two? Each one would say that's actually wrong. You can't do that.
Yeah, you can't do the other one, uh-huh. Right? Or shouldn't? It's inappropriate. The Gemara explains the svara is that the one that says to lean for the last two is that the first two akati avadim hayinu. We're still saying we're avadim. How could you lean when you're saying you're still avadim? Right, so so it actually seems like there's dafka hakpada that you have to lean for the last two, not the first two. And the other sheet that says no. Once it's the last two, what's the point already? The whole night's over. It's too late. Over zmano batal kurbanu. It's done already. So okay. So that's the that is does seem to be a hakpada. Good questions. Fighter. Okay, so let's take each of these heterim one at a time. Let's take the Gemara's first heter first. Nechol Kmo Shulchai. We'll start with that one. So this idea of Nechol Kmo Shulchai. Let me ask you a simple chakira. What's the svara? I mean, before I tell you the chakira, what's the svara? Why Nechol Kmo Shulchai? Not a problem?
I'm not going to mix
What?
No,
what do you mean it's no bishul?
Are you eating it raw or something that
no,
can
no,
be
eaten? Something that can be eaten raw. He cooks it for you. He cooks carrots for you. So you can eat carrots raw, but he cooked them for you. So what's the svara?
If you can eat it without, it's not going to make you gain
cold. It's not going to lead to chasnas. It's not going to lead to chasnas because why should you, he didn't do that much for you. You could have eaten this food without him. He didn't contribute all that much. So if the issue of chasnus is the reason for the isra of bishul akum, so this is not going to lead to chasnus because he didn't do you any favors. You're not going to say, oh, I'm so grateful to him because he cooked my carrots for me. You could have eaten the carrots without him cooking them for you, yeah?
Two things. Number one, who says that's true? If he's cooking, he's cooking. He knows what's going to happen. And number two...
What do you mean by that?
And once you're cooking, just because it could have been eaten raw, now it's not a big deal that he's cooking it, so what?
No, then it's not going to lead to chasnus. The whole idea of chasnus is that I'm going to start feeling close to him because he did me such a great tova.
Really, if I really like cooked carrots and he's cooking carrots, so it's going to lead to chasnus then.
Ah, okay, I hear.
And also,
fine.
Didn't we, the Shus Rashba said that there's no such thing as a heter for chasnus, no?
In terms of each guy, whether he has kids, doesn't have kids, you know, things like that.
But the
idea of chasnus is that it's going to create some sort of relationship. So the relationship won't be created so much if it's that's what I always thought pshat was. Is there any other svara? Any other possible reason why davar nachol kmo shulchai? So I saw a discussion in the Achronim as follows. It could be that when you cook something that's nachol kmo shulchai, it's not called bishul. Halachically, it doesn't have a status of bishul. Sounds strange, right? Says the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos Perek Tes Halacha Gimel. It did not make it into the Marma Kamos. It's quoted here in the Masorah Journal, the first volume of the Masorah Journal from the year, whatever it was, Tafshin Mem Tes, 1989 or so. Rabbi Ginnak quotes this Rambam. Says the Rambam, Hilchos Shabbos Perek Tes Halacha Gimel. Right? Says the Rambam, Hamavashal Alaor Davar Shayim Mavushal Kol Tzarcho. If you cook on Shabbos something that's already been fully cooked, oh, davar she'eino tzarich bishul klal, or something that doesn't require any cooking, pater. You're pater. What's the Rambam telling you? It's not called cooking. It's not bishul. Legabi hilchos Shabbos, it's not called bishul when you cook something that doesn't need to be cooked. You're changing it and you're making it better and that's fine. But it's not bishul. That's what the Rambam seems to be saying. Now we have ourselves a chakira. Is the reason that davar shenachol kmo shulchai is not a problem of bishul akum because he's not doing you such a big favor by cooking for you? You could have eaten the carrots raw, and therefore it's not going to lead to chasnus. Or is the reason that davar shenachol kmo shulchai is not a problem of bishul akum is because it's not called bishul? Halachically, it doesn't count as bishul. Nafkaminas, bishul b'shabbos, obviously. What else? Well, I don't know if we would, because it's how they made the gezeira, right? Nafkamina would be, what about Sudam of Sekhs Erev Tishbav? Coming up, a few weeks. You're not supposed to have Shnei Tafshilin. You're not supposed to have two cooked foods. What if you cook some carrots? Can you have an egg and carrots, right? Egg and bread is what we have, right? Can you have an egg and carrots? So, is that Shnei Tafshilin? Are carrots considered a Tavshil? Yeah?
Didn't we say that you can't compare what's halachically bishul b'Shabbos and what's bishul over here?
Why?
You just say it's not bishul b'Shabbos for whatever reason. Lamaisa, you're still doing the physical act of cooking. Just I don't know why it's not bishul on Shabbos. It's not considered bishul on Shabbos.
Okay, but we also assume that there are certain categories midoraisa that part of kol d'tikun rabbanan ken d'oraisa tikunum is that when the Rabbanan are going to make a din about Bishul, it's likely that they're going to pattern it after the definition of Bishul in the Torah.
Like Kavash Kim Bishul, you're not over the Bishul on Shabbos if you do Kavash Kim Bishul on Shabbos.
Right.
So I'm saying clearly there are Chalicha.
Yeah, Kavash isn't Bishul, it's Kim Bishul. It's a little different.
Right.
Oh, okay. You're there. Okay, yeah.
Rambam meant raw things. When you call it raw, it sounds more like it's something fried, so it doesn't need to be cooked.
No, no, he said, what do you mean?
He says something that doesn't need to be cooked.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily translate to something that doesn't need to be cooked because you can eat it raw. Not necessarily. You could say because it's fried, so it doesn't need to be cooked.
No, no, but he already says that. He says either because it's already cooked or because it never needs to be cooked in the first place. Right, so you're cooking something that's one or the other. So it's clear when he's saying the second one that it never was cooked, it just doesn't need to be cooked. So that's the Rambam. Now, within that side, if I'm going to use this Rambam as a raya, the truth is it's really a raya lehepich, because the Gemara makes a big deal over here that we have this tremendous kula by bishalakum, that if it's nechel kamushu chai, it's not going to be considered a problem of bishalakum. If it's not called bishal ever, so why do I need a chiddush in bishalakum? That it's not going to be called bishal akum. It's never called bishal. Right? It's just not, it doesn't have the...
You're still cooking it, though. That's hard. You're still doing the act of bishal.
And?
Halachically, it's not bishal.
Is the ma'aser totza the problem? What's the problem? The ma'aser totza, is the cooked food coming out, or is it the actual...
The ma'aser totza, good. So if it's the ma'aser... So he's doing the same ma'aser.
Yes,
but the totza is that he's giving you something, he's not really giving you anything.
So basically, the ma'aser, the ma'aser bishal.
But even so, it doesn't necessarily fit that chakira so nicely, the ma'isa totza chakira, because it's not halachically, it's not a ma'isa bishul. Meaning you may be doing something that looks like bishul, but halachically it's not a ma'isa bishul. Right? So, Rabbi Kanak happens to use this Rambam the way I just mentioned it right now, not the way I was using it originally. He says, L'chara kasha, dim davar shenu tzarech bishul klal pater b'shabbos. If something that doesn't need to be cooked, you're not going to be chayiv for cooking on Shabbos, because it's not called bishul in kol ha'tara kula. So im kein lamalon din mesuyam de davar nechel kmo shu chai in bamishum bishalakum. Why do you need a special din that a davar nechel kmo shu chai is not a problem bishalakum? According to the Rambam, afli in Shabbos ain't no bishal. Even the gabi Shabbos doesn't have a din of bishal. Now, there is a further machlokas. Just one second. There is a further machlokas rishonim. How do we define nechel kumushu chai? Does it mean something that people always eat raw, or something that people sometimes eat raw? So this is a machlokas that did make it into the Marmakamos. The Ritva says, even if it's not normally eaten raw, it could be eaten raw, it's sometimes eaten raw, that's enough of a nechel kumushu chai. The Mi'iri holds, no, it has to be normal for it to be eaten raw, in order for it to be nechel kumushu chai. So it could be that the Rambam holds like the Ritva, that the Rambam says, even if it's not normally eaten raw, it's just sometimes eaten raw, that already falls in the heter of nechel kmo shu chai. That may not fall into the p'tur in Hilcha Shabbos. Hilcha Shabbos p'tur might only be something that doesn't need bishul l'choladeus, that no matter what, everyone would eat it raw. The expansion of the kula in Hilchas bishul akum is that not only things that could always be eaten raw, even things that are just sometimes eaten raw are included in the kula. It could be the Rambam holds like the Ritva. That argument could be made.
Side question. Once we're trying to compare it to this Rambam also, so why don't we say what else the Rambam says in that halacha there? That if it's already a bashal tzarko, it's also not considered bishul akum.
Well, it's definitely not.
Why not? If that's pashut, then this should also be pashut. I don't have to say that. I don't have to say this.
We mean we don't say something from bishul kol tzarko.
We have to say that it's a heter.
Right.
Why don't we say the other one that it's a heter?
We don't have to. That's exactly the point.
Why?
Because it's an obvious heter.
Why aren't they both obvious then?
Again, that's the point, right? That's exactly what I'm trying to say. It must be that this is adding something beyond what the Rambam said. So what's it adding? So maybe the Rambam held like the Ritva Lagabi Bishlakum, and that's what it's adding. Lagabi Hilcha Shabbos, only something that's always eaten raw would be a p'tur. Lagabe bishalakum, we expand it even if it's only sometimes eaten raw. That's why I think that's why we need our Gemara. Yeah.
Can you say that the previous hakira is not chazakah b'shalakum? That within the original tzarek
so that was similar, right? That was similar to Maisa Totsa. It's a similar Chakira. I'm not sure how neatly it fits. I'm just not. I don't know. I'm not so comfortable with it. let's back up just a step. Nechel kamoshu chai. So we said the chakira that I wanted to work on for a little bit is the pshat that nechel kamoshu chai is that he didn't do anything for you, so you're not going to get so close to him, you're not going to end up marrying his daughter, you're not going to come to eat with him all the time and end up eating his non-kosher food, whichever reason you want to go with, but it's something that he didn't do much for you and therefore it's not a problem? Or is it that it's not called cooked? Another nafkamina, by the way, between those two tzadim al chakira, I mentioned Erev Tishbav, I mentioned Shabbos. Another nafkamina might be Erev Tavshil. You need something that's mevushal, a tavshil, for Erev Tavshilin. Can you take a cooked carrot and use that as your Erev Tavshilin? Can you take cooked fish and use it as your Erev Tavshilin? Because this Nechel Kamo Shul Chai might be a tremendous heter in regards to fish. That's how in 1989, Rabbi Gnack was already writing, and believe me, I was around in 1989, no Jew was eating sushi in America in 1989. I mean, it was very rare. People went to Japanese restaurants and said, you know, it was like a novelty item. It was like, ew, you're going to eat that? And, you know, it was that kind of thing. It wasn't something that people typically ate. And they were already starting to be done, well, if you hold like the Ritva that it's sometimes Nechel Kamo Shul Chai, well, there are people in Japanese restaurants, strange as it sounds, it's so amazing how quickly things change. It's like now you can't go to a chasna that doesn't have, it's like, anyway, but it's like, yes, you can. Okay, so what was I saying? Right, so when it comes to the fish, that's one of the heterim that the OU used for the tuna fish that they would get from Thailand or whatever, that they would that it was Nechel Kamo Shul Chai, because if you hold like the Ritva, Nechel Kamo Shul Chai means sometimes Nechel Kamo Shul Chai. So can you use fish for Erev Tavshilin? Fish is Nechel Kamo Shul Chai, perhaps. Okay. So that's enough gemeinus. Let's take a look at some rayas maybe. Take a look at the Ran Beitz Chesam Beis Bedape Arif. It's Maramakom number 7, I think. Is that it? Did I get the right one this time? Yeah. Take a look at the Ran source number 7. Shav al pishein bo mishum bishalakum lav mishum delo lahavi tavshil elo dahasu mishum kruve daituhu. So the Ran, I think, is pretty explicit. He explicitly deals with our chakira. When you say something that's nechel kamo shul chai, are you saying that the issue is that it's not called a tavshil? Or are you saying it is called a tavshil, it's just not going to lead you to anything? It's not going to lead you to any sort of kiruv das. So he's pretty explicit that it's the latter. It's that it's, he didn't, or the way we said the chakira the first time, the first side of the chakira, that it's not going to lead you to any kiruv das, it's not going to lead you to any sense of chasnus. If you look, however, at Rashi, Maseches Beitzah, Daf Tes Zayin, Amud Aleph, Divrei Maschil Ein Behem, source number 10, says Rashi, Shagazru Chacham B'Bishulei Nachrim Mishum Chasnus, V'al Nechel Kamo Shul Chai Lo Gazru Al Bishulan, Kivan Shenechel Kamo Shul Chai Eino Bishul Delo Ahani Midi. So now, what's that? It's not called Bishul, but then he adds in, because he hasn't helped you. He hasn't really done much for you. So, the way I read that Rashi, and you can tell me if you disagree, is that Rashi is saying, it doesn't have a shem bishul. Why doesn't it have a shem bishul? Because when something is edible before the bishul, then cooking is not called bishul. Loma hani midi is a svara why it doesn't have a shem bishul. But the way I read the Rashi was that Rashi is not saying that it's all about kiruv das or whatever. No, it said it's eino bishul. It doesn't have a din of bishul in kol ha-tarakula. Yeah.
It's not considered bishul. Meaning that's what Rashi. Rashi says, "Bishulei nachrim." Because of this, this is a considered bishul in regards to what? In regards to bishulei nachrim.
I hear that reading. I definitely hear it.
That's not, that would be like the Rambam, right?
No. That would be why.
It would not be like the Rambam.
Rambam
is not bishul straight up. When he says
the Rambam holds not bishul in general, right? So I thought maybe it was like the Rambam that it's not bishul in general, that it's just not called bishul. Bennett wants to disagree, and I hear that too. I'm just saying that there's certainly what to be medayik in that Rashi. You can go one way or the other.
Why do you bring up chasnas in the whole thing in the beginning of the Rashi? It seems to be out of place. Mishum chasnas because it's not chasnas because he didn't help you. Since lohani mili, therefore it's not chasnas.
You're right. In the context of that Rashi,
you can go either way.
Okay, in the context of that Rashi, you can go either way. If we were to assume that it's not called Bishul, it happens to be the halacha is we are allowed to use it for Erev Tavshilin, something that's Nechal Kamo Shulchai. There's no such din in Erev Tavshilin that you're not allowed to use something Kamo Shulchai. That's Nechal Kamo Shulchai. So if you were to take the tzad that it's not called Bishul, you would then need to explain why you would be allowed to use it for Erev Tavshilin. If that tzad of the Chakir, if my reading of Rashi were correct, I'd run into trouble. Because I would assume even Rashi would be moda. I don't know of any such machlokas when it comes to Erev Tavshilin, whether you're allowed to use something that's Nechal Kamo Shulchai for the sake of Erev Tavshilin. I am not aware of any such machlokas. So I would run into a little bit of trouble with that Rashi. If you take a look at the Seder Yaakov, source number 11. So Seder Yaakov, which again is the Sachron that I like to use a lot on Maseches Avodah Zarah, is very good. He writes, L'chor Yeshlomo Del Rashi Mechalkim Bein HaGavra Bein HaChefetz. He read Rashi the way I did, and he said, I read Rashi the way he did, and he said that when it comes to, according to Rashi, you can make a chiluk between Gavra and Chefetz. Why? Ratzel Omer, Del Gabi Ha'adam HaMavashel Davar HaNechel Kmo Shulchai Amrina Dekivan Delo Ahani Maisav Kolkach Lav Shem Mevashel Alav. The person who's cooking something that's edible raw, I think it's the exact opposite of Gavra Chefetz Chiluk we were trying to make before, the person who's cooking something that's edible raw is not called a mevashel, because he didn't do anything. He took something that was edible and made it still edible. He didn't change anything. He didn't do anything. So he's not a mevashel. You know why? The definition of a chef is someone who takes raw ingredients that are inedible, and makes them edible. That's the definition of a chef. That's a mevashel. Someone who's machshir ochel yidei bishul. That's not what he's doing. Valkarchlo mikri agoy mivashel. Avlala chayfetz. Imnis bashlu. I'm sorry about the typo. I typed it in. Imnis bashlu dagim elu. Shenimluchu mikodem. If you cook these fish that have been salted and therefore made edible previously, harayata mivushalim heim. Previously they were edible. You know what they are now? They're cooked now. Carrots are edible beforehand, but once you cook them, they're no longer edible. They're no longer just edible carrots. They're also cooked carrots. On the cheftza, it's cooked. V'nishtanim mashayim mikodem alucham, v'alkein shem tavshil aleihem. So they would have a shem tavshil. So now, he says, it could work out very well, even if you read Rashi the way I wanted to read Rashi, that when it comes to bishul akum, that you're going to say, it's not called bishul, on something that's nechal kamo shuchai, and therefore it's not a problem, bishul akum, is because what are we worried about by bishul akum? We're worried about your relationship with the person. The person is not a mevashel, he's not your chef, he didn't do anything for you. But by Erev Tavshilin, it's a din in the cheftza, it's a din in the food. You need a tavshil for Erev Tavshilin. Is this a tavshil when you cook a carrot? Is it a tavshil? Absolutely yes, it's a tavshil. Because the cheftza is something that's mevushal. That's his chakir. I think that gavra cheftza works a little better, yeah?
I could be wrong, but isn't there a day that there's
bishal hafiyah? Why does that relate? If there's bishul acharafia, assuming that it would relate to, meaning you're saying if you're going to say that it's not called bishul, right? When something is edible, well, yeah, obviously this would not fit because obviously once it's baked, then for sure it's edible. Yeah.
Is there any nafkamina between the two reads and Rashi?
Which side Rashi comes down on?
What do you mean?
Does Rashi hold that it's not called a tavshil? Or does he say it is called the Tavshil? Nafkamina will be Erev Tavshilin. Meaning, Nafkamina should be whether you can use it for Erev Tavshilin. You're right. Meaning, what he's doing is he's taking away the Nafkamina.
It sounds like he's saying the Rashi is exactly like the Ram.
They arrive at it a different.
Not called a Mavashel, but it's still a cooked item.
He's not called
the item.
No,
it's not called that he's cooking it in regards to that we have to worry about chasnas.
No. It's you have to come up with a different nafkamina, but what the Ran would be saying is he is called a mevashel. He's cooking for you. The only thing is he didn't contribute that much to your life, so you're not going to feel a sense of closeness with him. Whereas Rashi would be saying, no, it's not even that he cooked for you. He's not called someone who cooked something for you.
Then why not?
Okay, because it was edible beforehand, so that's why it's not called anything. It gets much closer. You'd have to come up with enough kamina, right? You would have to come up with enough kamina.
Does it make a difference if by him cooking or him doing things, it's going to change the bracha?
would that make a difference in terms of what he's doing for you? Probably not. But let's get to your other point, because he then touches on Afia, Bishalach HaRafia. So let's look at the second paragraph over there. Ach Koshe. Dari Pligi B'zeh Tanam P'sachim Memalav B'Karm Pesach Hatzali V'Archach Bishlov. Karm Pesach, the halach is, it has to be Tzliyesh. It has to be roasted, you're not allowed to cook. Right? It's Nisad Al-Raisa to cook Karm Pesach. What if you roasted it and then cooked it? Did Dafka L'Rab Yossi Ovmer Lav Mishomu V'Shel Mevushal Av L'Rameir Lo. According to Rabbi Yossi, that's a violation of the Yisrael Darais of cooking Korban Pesach. According to Rabbi Meir, it's not. V'haimu to the Rabbi Meir, ain shem mevushal aleha. According to Rabbi Meir, it was edible beforehand. Now it's not cooked. I don't care what you did to it. It's not called cooked if it was edible beforehand. It doesn't have a shem tavshil. V'kivin dekayim lank Rabbi Yossi, lama lo yehe shem bishal aleha gam l'din Torah. Now, since we paskin like Rabbi Yossi, that it does have a shem bishal, right, so why would we not say that it should have a shem bishul legabe all the dinim? The shem shem huchshar kvar yesh od bishul hachinami imit chilas aroy ha yesh od toras bishul. If in regards to Korban Pesach, we're going to say that once it's roasted and edible, it's still subject to bishul. So in regards to all the halachos, even if it's already edible, in regards to Chashabas and Erev Tafshil and everything else, it should also have a din, and Bishalakum should also have a din that there's still, it's still possible to do Bishal on it. And therefore, when it comes to Bishalakum, it should be a chumra that you shouldn't be allowed to have Nechuk Moshu Chai, because it's still subject to Bishal, even though it's already edible. When it comes to Hilcha Shabbos, it should still be Chayiv. Umizel Lamad Be'emes HaYereim, and that's what the Yereim uses as a source. That Gemara Psachim Mem Aleph, that legabe Shabbos yesh bishul acharafia, that there is a problem of bishul acharafia in Hilcha Shabbos, because if there's bishul achar tzli by Korban Pesach, why should there not be bishul acharafia legabe Hilcha Shabbos? Same vort, it's edible beforehand based on something you've done to it, and now you're going ahead and changing it a little bit more with the bishul. Aynor chaim shen yuchesef hey biogra im kein lama lo yichashiv hagoy lemevashel. So then, why isn't the guy considered a mevashel over here? You have something that's nechel kamo shuchai. So what do we want to say? That the guy is not called a mevashel. The item may be called a tavshil, but the guy is not called a mevashel. But legabe every other halach in the world, we say that this is a full-fledged bishel, even though it's already at the point where it's been roasted, it's already at the point where it's edible. So why should the guy not have a din of a mevashel, just like any other, all these other dinim? So now he says, nafkamina between Rashi and the Ran. Bishel mala Ran, dumitzad delekab zakir of das, nicha. So according to the Ran, well, it's not whether it fits the technical definition of Bishul or not. The issue is not about that. What's the issue? The issue is, am I going to be thankful to him? Am I going to feel a sense of korvah to him? Am I going to feel close to him because of what he did for me? And according to the Ran, the answer is no, because I could have eaten it without him. Ach l'Rashi v'mi'iri kasha. But according to Rashi, it's going to be difficult. Why would we have such a heter, which is based on the idea that it doesn't have a shame bishul, that the guy is not called a mevashel, when it comes to Hilchas Korban Pesach, when it comes to Hilchas Shabbos, we will say yes to a mevashel. Good? So that's the difficulty. So how does he answer? A little bit weiter. The Yishlomar de Rashi Sfirle Karavyah HaCholek Al Yireim. Rashi holds, maybe against the Yireim. The Yireim wanted to derive from the halacha of Bishul Achar Tzli by Korban Pesach what the halacha is going to be in Hilchos Shabbos when it comes to Afia Achar Bishul, or Bishul Achar Afia, right? Says the Seder, what is it called again? Says the Seder Yaakov, right? Says the Seder Yaakov that maybe Rashi holds that there's a different sugya that disagrees. Because Gemara in Brachas Taflam Chesem Bey says that you can't be yotze with matzah that was baked and then cooked. Why? Ein batam matzah. It no longer tastes like matzah when it's cooked. How about the fact that it's mevushal? Shouldn't that itself ruin it? Forget my name, but tam matzah. Matzah is supposed to be baked. It's not supposed to be cooked. So he says, you see from there that it's not called mevushal. If it was already baked and then you cook it later, it's not called mevushal. You see that bishul acharafia, it's not really called bishul. So it's machlokas and sugyas, and Rashi passes like the Gemara and Brachos. That's perhaps what you could say. Okay, he goes on, he has more to discuss in regards to Erev Tisha B'Av, Beis Tavshilin. Fine, but that's the basic chakir. Yeah. Right. The only you're not even allowed to soak the matzah because it's going to change the even if you don't if you eat kabrachs because it's going to change the taste of it, right? But they say if someone's a chola and he's not able to digest matzah, so we allow to.
But if it's only about the taste, why can't you say specifically that matzah, maybe yain on Pesach night, the only thing that you need is specific taste. Everything else you could still say there'd be.
No, by cooked matzah, I'm talking about matzah that.
So that matzah, so say that's only by Pesach night that he would say this. But in regards to all other foods, at all other times, he wouldn't be saying this. Because that's only time of the Chiyuv Tam. The Chiyuv Tam there, and by the
Dalai. Yeah, in Echinami. But you could still be Medayek that the only problem over there is Tam. The problem is not that it's Mavushal. So it must be that Bishal Acharfi is not called Bishal.
Let's say that we're not really concerned with Bishal just because there's a non-entity fact. We're more concerned about the Tam. But with regards to everything else, maybe we would be concerned about Bishal.
So you're saying it's not a diuk. To say that you're only concerned about tam, you can only make that diuk if the more fundamental problem is that it's mevushal.
Yeah.
But you say the more fundamental problem by Pesach is that it doesn't have tam matzah. Okay, maybe. Yeah. No question, though. No. All right. So that is Nechel Kmo Shulchai. Again, a little bit more on Nechel Kmo Shulchai. How do we determine what's called Nechel Kmo Shulchai? Is it the type of food? Or you look at each specific food. Meaning, do I say, tuna fish is nechel kmo shulchai because I have tuna fish sushi? Or do I say, no. If I'm having it as one little thing wrapped in rice and seaweed, then it's nechel kmo shulchai. But if I'm taking it out of a can, then it's not nechel kmo shulchai. Or if I'm having a big, big piece of fish, then it wouldn't be nechel kmo shulchai because no one eats it raw that way. How do you look at it? Do you look at as you're eating it, the way you're eating it, or do you look at the type of food? That this kind of food is nechel chai or not nechel chai. The Gilyon Marsha on the Shulchan Aruch in Kuf Yud Gimel, Gilyon Marsha, if you look in source number 13, Ani Novuch Beperos Shalonis Bakru Adayin, called Sarchan, Vein Nechel and Adayin Chai. Let's say you have fruits that are not yet fully ripened. So they're not yet edible. You can cook them and make them edible, but they're not yet edible. Im Yesh Pemishum Shalev Rechavim. Is that Bishlakum or is it not? What's the lumdus of the suffix? So he explains. Tama suffix, Imperisham call nechel kmo shuchai al hamin, diemenu nechel chule shari, afshaze ain nechel, machmashlonis baker adayin. Do you say that it's totally on the min? Apples are nechel kmo shuchai. It happens to be the apple I have. I pulled it off the tree so early that this particular apple is not nechel, would not be edible at this state, at this stage, unless I cook it. But apples are mutter because they're nechel kmo shulchai. So that's the shayla. How do you look at it? He says, "Umatzasi smach b'sefer orchai me'ari grudna din bishuli akum ozdalit shekasa v'miyu hani agasim hakashim im bishlan ovid chav mutarim sherov shebimino ikur achilasan chayin." He says he found some sefer that I never heard of that seems to emphasize that as long as in this min, the way people eat this kind of food is raw, then that's good enough. So the same is going to be true for other types of food. So he said at the end, he seems to raise a suffix, but he seems to lean leniently. That if it's the min is nechel kamos shulchai, then that would be enough, yeah?
It says kol nechel kamos shulchai. Although just say kol nechel chai.
Kol nechel chai would mean,
and it's eaten raw.
And it's eaten raw. And
in fact, that's kamoshu, like it is right now, like this steak. If I'm eating,
so you're saying that sounds more food specific.
Right, exactly. Meaning, if it's a huge piece of fish, so would I eat a huge piece of fish raw? Doesn't matter. I eat sushi. The way it is right now.
Interesting. It's interesting, Diuk. Sounds good.
No one.
I didn't see it anywhere. Anyone see that anywhere? Sounds good. I'm not going to say no one said it because I certainly haven't seen everything, but it sounds good. The Chalkas Binyamin quotes the Skulin Marsha, but then he says that we don't pass them that way, right? He says that most poskim are strict. Chalkas Binyamin writes, Lo azlin basar kolamin el adavar tali ba'usul machul gufei imu nechal chai ukuon perushen ruin le'achal chai. And again, this chakira, this shayla, is was very nogeya and is still very nogeya for the OU tuna fish, because people don't eat tuna out of a can raw. When we get it, it's already cooked. People do eat sushi raw. So do you look at a whole chunk of tuna fish and say, oh, it's nechal kamo shuchai, or do you say, no, it's not, because you would never eat it raw in this way unless it was sushi. The Rav Vazner in the Tshuva seems to say like the Gilui Marsha, more like the Gilui Marsha, not like the Chalkas Pinyamin. Okay, so that's one basic halachic issue that needs to be dealt with within the world of Nechal Kamo Shul Chai. The other basic halachic issue is, what does it mean, Nechal Kamo Shul Chai? Who eats it, Kamo Shul Chai? In Japan, they might eat certain things raw that we don't eat here raw. Is it community-based? Is it individual-based? There are certain people that will eat some crazy things. So is it community-based? How do we look at it? So if you look at the Aruch HaShulchan, it's just a basic halachic issue, no serious lamdas here. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, source number 16, Davar Pashut Hu Deli'inyan Davar Sheinu Nechal Kamo Shul Chai Holchana Achar Rov B'nei Adam. You follow most people. Dimarov ain ochlin ma'achal zek moshu chai, afsha yachid ochlo mikol makom asr gamla oso yachid. Not only is it asr, not only can I not rely on the fact that my neighbor eats this stuff raw, eats raw meat all the time, let's say, right? Even though I personally would never eat raw meat, not only can I not rely on it, my neighbor who eats the raw meat can't rely on it. He can't say, oh, I would eat it raw and therefore it's fine by me. Let's say I don't like sushi, so I never eat fish raw, but I know lots of other people will eat raw fish. I just wouldn't eat raw fish. So then the shaila is, so the Aruch HaShulchan says I'm still allowed to eat the fish that's cooked by a non-Jew, because the shame Nechal Kamo Shul Chai is not judged on an individual basis, it's judged on a rabbin basis. But however, aval in medina achas ochlok shi chaya u medina acheres ein ochlon osarak mevushal ein nivtalin zelaze. You go by your country, you don't go by someone else's country. Country, city, state, I'm not sure. You know, how do you define that? You know, there are states that are larger than most countries. So do you, you know, if they would eat something raw in Texas or New Mexico and not in New York, you know, I'm not sure. I don't know how to approach the problem. I don't know what the halacha would be if I go from New York to Japan or Texas or whatever, right? Would my halacha change because I'm a New Yorker and I was raised in New York? Probably not. It would be strange that something that would be considered bishlakim for me in New York would not be considered bishlakim for me somewhere else, because now I'm in a different place. Yeah.
By Hilchos Brachos, there's an operate, certain things are have different brachos if they're raw or if they're cooked.
Yeah.
So there is, I don't remember, there's a sheet that says though that also it's totally on makom. I remember seeing that if you would go, like let's say in Eretz Yisrael they eat raw onions. In America they don't eat raw onions.
Salads sometimes.
I'm just saying, let's say, and I'm not saying the mice. So if I'd go to Eretz Yisrael and it would change, he says that you would have to change also.
Right.
You would have to change the bracha.
I would think so.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I would think so. That if you're going somewhere else, so you now have to. It's not like, you know, the Mishnah Pesachim that you take on when you go from one place to another, you take on the Chumrei Makom Shahalach Misham, you know, the Chumras of both places. Because this isn't it's not about a din. The din is affected by what the Minhag HaMakom is in eating habits. It's about eating habits. Now, the eating habits affect the halacha, but it's not like a chumra in din per se, because there might be some things that they're more, you know, that they eat chai over here and not over there, and vice versa, right? So it's just an eating habit issue. So I would think it would go by the eating habits of whatever place you're in. Yeah.
Can you speak enough between the Rashi and the Rambam? According to Rashi, it's more on what people do, but is it official or not? But according to the Rambam, it's about personal thing. You can be close to him or not.
Yeah, I don't think so, just because even though logically that would make sense, I think even according to the Ran, when the Rabbanan made the din, it had to be for the community. They didn't make personalized dinim for everybody. They said, look, for the community as a whole, would this bring about korva? Okay, there are going to be a couple of mishugayim and a couple of people that don't exactly fit into the box that we... But, you know, they made their dinim for the community as a whole. That's what I would think. Another issue is, you know, once you mention onions... What about things that can be eaten raw but only together with other foods? like onions. Onions, people will eat raw in America, but only in a salad, on a hamburger, something like that. They wouldn't eat raw onions together with other foods. So the Chalkas Binyamin in the, I think, is that, am I wrong about that? The Chalkas Binyamin in the Biurim, Divar Maskel Kamoshu Chai, has this discussion. He quotes the Tshuvas Beis Shlomo. No, is that the wrong one?
Maybe onions wouldn't really apply in this case, only because onions you could technically eat raw. I know you don't usually, but you can. Like, I don't think it's a minhag makom. I don't think everyone would accept
it. But it would be dependent on whether people do, not whether...
You can,
right. Someone has to actually do it. So that's... Okay, you know what? Maybe we'll get to that Chalkas Binyamin tomorrow. The other issue is... The whether I have to be in Brooklyn in 17 minutes. The other issue is whether a Baal Nefesh should l'chadchila be machmir in something like this. If you take a look, it's an interesting discussion. The Bach holds that, if you're a Baal Nefesh, you should be machmir even on something that's nechuk moshu chai. And Dogon Ravava, based on the Shach, thinks that that's like apikorsis. That's not apikorsis, but that's a terrible thing to do. Chazal gave us a terim. When they give us a terim, you're supposed to use that terim. You're not supposed to go and try to be machmir even against the terim of Chazal. Alright, so Bez Hashem, maybe we'll finish up nechuk moshu chai quickly tomorrow, and then we'll start, we'll also do tomorrow Bez Hashem Ol al Shulchan Malachim and Kavanasa Levashel, which is also Sugya Lamed Ches Meral. So again, I apologize for the early shir and the early exit, but tomorrow, if we can try to be here, 6:30 for Mincha, 7:30 shir, 8:45 Maariv.